أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا يوافي نعمه ويكافئ مزيده، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد نموذج الكمال الإنساني في الوجود، من أقامه الله عز وجل مزكيا للأنفس، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. Dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan is coming to an end. Ramadan is the month of purification of the self, or self-purification, tazkiyatun nafs. And I thought that it would be a good chance for us to reflect on that, to try and see how much of that have we managed to attain, and what do we learn from it, and what do we take with us for after Ramadan. Allah says in the Quran, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. So Allah states quite clearly that the winners are those who are going to be able to purify the nafs, the self, or the ego. There is no actual accurate translation for the word nafs, but it can be translated sometimes as the self or the ego, or the consciousness, a lot of translation which are not accurate. But anyhow, we're going to refer to it for this purpose as the nafs, as it is mentioned in the Quran. So Allah made it clear that whoever purifies his nafs is going to be the prosperous one. And the month of Ramadan is the month for purification of al-nafs. Now, sometimes when we talk about the nafs, there's some confusion as to what are we really talking about. So I'm just going to spend a few minutes just to elaborate a bit more on the nafs and what is really in this nafs, what is the drive of this nafs. Now, we need to start from the very beginning. Allah says that لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created man or human beings in the best form. So when we are created, our nafs is in the best, it's perfect. And the Prophet ﷺ tells us, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every human being, every baby is born عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ, on the good common sense. فَأَهْلَهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنُصِّرَانِهِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِهِ. But then his parents either make him become Jew, Christian, Majusi, or whatever. Which means that everybody is born with a clear nafs. But then the environment is what changes this nafs and alters it. So let's see how desires, you know, how these desires in the nafs develop. So starting from the very beginning, a newborn child starts to develop the desire or instinct of the stomach for food. When the baby is hungry, it starts crying. It's crying, requesting food. That's the first desire, that's the first instinct that develops in the human being, the instinct for feeding the stomach. And then, when the baby grows up a little bit, it starts developing a second form of desire, a second form of instinct, which is the desire for attention, which later on develops into the desire for status. So we find that the baby cries, asking for the mother to cuddle him. And as soon as the mother cuddles the baby, it stops crying. Why is it crying? It's now developed a new thing. It's discovered a new desire in the nafs, which is a desire for attention. Now, all these things which we're talking about, by the way, are just how it starts. It develops with us as we grow up. Then, as the baby starts to grow up a little bit, a new desire starts to develop in the nafs, which is the desire of possession. So the baby grabs his mother's finger. He wants to keep her, or grabs his toy. So the baby starts to develop a new desire now, a new instinct. It's the instinct of possession. This is mine. I want this. Then, as the baby starts to grow up a little bit, a new desire starts to develop, which is the fighting for this possession. So a baby will fight for its pacifier. It knows that the pacifier doesn't feed it, but it's something that it enjoys. So when he wants the pacifier, or when she wants the pacifier, she will cry for it. Or in the slightly older babies, if somebody tries to grab the toy from them, another child grabs the toy, they will fight for it. So that's another instinct that's now developing. And then further on, it starts to develop the instinct of anger. So if somebody takes the toy away, the baby can become angry or can develop a tantrum. We see all these behaviors in babies, and we've all been through all this, and this is how these desires have developed in our nafs in a very young age. The next stage then comes at about the age of 7, which is a very crucial stage, because at this stage, the young child now has the ability to learn. And at this age, a very important concept is introduced, which is the concept of, in return for taking, you must give something. The concept of duty. Because at this age, the child starts to be able to differentiate between things. And that's why the Sunnah tells us, لَعِبُوهُمْ لِسَبْعُ وَمُرُوهُمْ لِلصَّلَاةِ بِسَبْعُ. So when the child gets at the age of 7, you start telling it to pray. And it's interesting, if you watch carefully, how important these stages are. If the parents introduce prayer to the child in a nice way, the child grows up to love the prayers. Whereas if they introduce it in a rough way, and they punish him if he doesn't pray, and do not make it appear like a nice thing, he grows up not to like prayers, and to hate prayers subconsciously. That's how important all these instincts are at this young age. Now, so as I said, at this stage, the concept of duty and rights are introduced. And just remember this word, because it's a very important concept that we refer to later on in life, because this is the source of a lot of problems that many people have. Then finally, at puberty, a new desire arises, which is the desire for sex, the interest in the opposite sex. By this stage, now, the basic instincts of an-nafs have all developed. And this is where everything grows up with the person as they grow up. But these basic instincts have developed at such a young age. So if the upbringing was a sound upbringing, usually the nafs is a sound nafs. If the upbringing was not correct, was not done properly, this is where problems can occur. Now, if a person has had a good development of this, at this stage, he will start to develop the concept of denial, understanding that sometimes denial leads to elevation. So it's not that if you're denied something, it's a bad thing. Sometimes denial is a means of elevation. So without going much further into details, let's just reflect on a few lessons that we can take from these basic primordial instincts that develop in the nafs at a young age. There's a big difference between what I need and what I want. The nafs always wants, and it wants more. Whatever you give it, it will want more and more and more. So it's important that we can, at this stage, understand the difference between need and want. If the nafs is not tamed, if we don't control it, this is exactly what Allah describes in the Quran as an-nafsul ammara bisu. It is the nafs that is always enticing its owner to do wrong things, because it always wants more. And if you submit, the person who submits to all the whims and desires of the nafs becomes a slave of the nafs, a slave to all the desires. So this is point number one, the difference between need and want. Now, the second point, which is very important, is not all what I want is necessarily correct. And this is where the concept of self-control comes in. Not self-denial. We don't deny ourselves what we want. So we don't deny ourselves food, for example. We eat. But controlled food. We need to be clear about what are we eating for. If you see something that you like, the nafs will entice you to eat more and more and more. That's just an example. This applies to food, applies to sex, applies to money, applies to everything. So this is what pushes us to go into the wrong, doing wrong things, and harming ourselves and harming other people around us. So here's the second concept. So the first concept was differentiate between what I need and what I want. And the second concept was self-control, not self-denial. Now, the third concept, which is also important, is that want what is correct, not what I fancy. So the Sharia teaches us what is haram and what is halal, what is right and what is wrong. So we should teach ourselves, our nafs, to want what is correct. It's not a question of what I just want, what I fancy. I might fancy a lot of things. I might fancy a smoke. I might fancy a drink. But these are haram. So we have to understand that we should want what is correct. So these are the three concepts. Differentiation between need and want. Self-control and wanting what is correct, not what you fancy. Nowadays you hear a lot of youngsters in particular say, look, I made peace with myself. Accept me as I am. Which is a good concept. But you made peace with yourself. Which self have you made peace with? And accept you as you are, as what? Shall I accept you whether you are good or you are bad, whether you are right or you are wrong? That's not the idea. That's where the Freudian theory comes into play. Although, you know that Freud based everything on desire. But Freud was actually describing exactly an-nafsul ammara bisu. The nafs, the person who just gives in to his desires without any control at all, without applying these three rules that we spoke about. In Islam, this is not the concept at all. In Islam, we have the concept of tazkiyatun nafs, or self-purification. So, Quran describes several levels of nafs. We don't have time to go through them all. Maybe we can discuss it at some other stage. But, a nafs is not all one nafs. The nafs is, we spoke about the nafs al-ammara, the nafs al-ammara bisu, and this is the lowest level, which is the enticing nafs. Then if you try to purify it, if you do tazkiyah for the nafs, it gets elevated to the next stage, which is the nafs al-lawwama, the blaming nafs, which is again mentioned in the Quran. And if you continue to work on it, it gets elevated to the next stage, which is the nafs al-mulhama, which is the inspired nafs. And then النفس المطمئنة, the peaceful nafs, والنفس الراضية, the content nafs, والنفس المرضية, the made content nafs, and then النفس الكاملة, which is the complete, which only very, very few people and probably just prophets attain. So there are several levels of nafs. It's not just all one nafs. And usually, For simple people like myself and like most of us, we are oscillating between levels. So we need to watch ourselves. We need to see where we are and try always to go to the next level if we can. So one last thing that happens later on in life when you start to go into the practical life, which is the development of the love for status among people, the development for standing among people. And this is what drives a lot of people to want more money, because they know that the more money you have, the higher the status you have in society and with people. And this is why people seek power for the sake of status. So all this is driven by the nafs. Now, it doesn't mean that status is a bad thing, but it means that you should not allow your desire for status to drive you doing the wrong things. So we need to keep the three rules that we spoke about before. So it should always not be based on desire, but on what is correct. Now, when we do wrong, there are two types of wrongdoing. Very, very few people do wrong out of ignorance. Most of us do wrong while we know that it is wrong. So we're doing wrong while we know it is wrong. Why is this? It's because we're following the desires of the nafs al-ammara. We're not being able to control the nafs. We don't have any self-control, so we just do whatever it is. Let me give you an example, for example. Smoking. Those of us who smoke. You know that smoking is wrong. You know that smoking is haram. You know that smoking is a waste of money and a waste of health, and yet you do smoke. Why is that? It's because you're giving in to the nafs. You become enslaved to the nafs. And more seriously, more dangerous, is when the nafs tries to play tricks on you and philosophizes it. So it says, you know, look, that's the only vice you have. That's the only way to relax. You don't smoke a lot. Whatever, it plays tricks to try and justify it. You can take this example on a lot of other things, you know, the way you earn your money, the way you do a lot of things. So this is something that happens to all of us, particularly as we grow older into our practical life. And this is where Ramadan comes in. And this is the importance of Ramadan for purification of al-nafs. I'm sorry if I took a long time just to explain the basic things. Hopefully I'll be able to explain where Ramadan comes into all this in the second part of the khutbah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. So moving on from there, how does Ramadan come into that? There are two ways. There is the abstaining and the positive action. So what do we do in Ramadan? We abstain from all the sources of basic living, which is food and drink, and the source of continuity of the race, which is sexual intercourse during the day. This is to elevate al-nafs. This is to train al-nafs how to control yourself. This is you're sending a message to your nafs. Look, I will not give in to all your whims. I can, for, in our case, about 18 hours a day, give up my basic needs. So I will be able, after Ramadan, inshallah, to give up at least what is haram. I'm not going to give in to this nafs. I'm not going to be a slave to my nafs. Now, also, we abstain from backbiting. We abstain from slandering. The Prophet taught us that من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة أن يضع طعامه وشرابه. Whoever doesn't abstain from speaking evil or doing wrong things or talking in a bad way or backbiting during the month of Ramadan, he doesn't have a need to give up his food and drink. He might as well just not fast at all. So we are clearly ordered to experience self-control even in our emotions, not just the food and drink. We are also asked not to lose our temper. We experience self-control with temper. The Prophet ﷺ told us, if somebody fights you or somebody picks a fight with you while you are fasting, then you just say, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. And it's interesting. He told us to say it twice. Why is that? First time is for yourself, for your nafs. Remind yourself, إِنِّي صَائِمٌ. The second one is for the other person. To tell him, look, I'm fasting, I'm not going to pick a fight with you. But the first one is to remind ourselves. So these are all practical things that we have been experiencing, practical things that we've been practicing in Ramadan. Now, the other thing is the positive action. During Ramadan, we have been training ourselves how to force ourselves into doing actions. You know that after a long day, you're tired, you've probably been at work, you're exhausted. You sit and eat, you have your meal, then you feel, oh, I want to relax now. But then what happens? Isha comes and Taraweeh comes. So you push yourself, you get up and you start praying and you stand up for Taraweeh. And you stand up for Taraweeh, you pray 20 rak'ahs or 8 rak'ahs or whatever, reading Quran. You're pushing yourself. You are proving to yourself that I can control this nafs, I'm going to push it. Whereas in other days, you probably might not be able to do that. And that's why the Prophet told us, "Man sama Ramadan wa qama, ghufr lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbi." And in other, "ghufr lahu ma taqaddam min dhanbi wa ma ta'akhkhar." So if you fast during the day and you do the night prayer, all your sins are going to be forgiven. And it is said also in another hadith, maybe the past and future sins as well. Why is that? It is because if you have actually attained what you should attain in Ramadan, then you have learned controlling your nafs. And if you can learn controlling your nafs, it is the source of most of the ill doings after that. So if you have learned the lesson, if we have learned the lesson, if we can apply what we learned during Ramadan, then after Ramadan, inshaAllah, we can continue along the same line, inshaAllah. Now, this is the last thing I want to close with. We always say, we can do that, inshaAllah. Unfortunately, the way a lot of Muslims have used the word inshaAllah is in such a negative way. And you will find a lot of kids, when you tell them inshaAllah, they say, oh yes, when dad says inshaAllah, it means you're not going to do it. This is not what it is. This is not what it is. There are two aspects. From our end, you must have the intention, a niyyah. And the intention must be precise, must be sharp, and must be assertive. So if you today take the clear intention and make a genuine intention that after Ramadan, I'm going to apply to my nafs what I have learned, what I have been doing during Ramadan. If you have the clear intention to do that, if you have the really assertive intention to do that, then you say inshaAllah, because then an-nihayat, what the scholars tell us, the nihayat, بِالْمَشِيئَةِ, it is by the will of Allah. So it's by Allah's will that you will be successful in doing that, if He chooses to give you this. But take home message is, we have been experiencing this, we've all been doing it during Ramadan. There are three lessons to be remembered that we must keep with us after Ramadan, inshaAllah, which is, always differentiate between what I need and what I want. Question it. Do I want it or do I need it? Secondly, always think, is this correct? Is it a correct thing that I want, or is it just something that I fancy? And thirdly, not all what I want is correct. We must experience self-control. So try to control everything. It's not easy at the beginning. But as it's like taming a horse. That's how you tame a nafs. You tame a horse, you try to ride a wild horse, it will throw you off. Once, twice, three times, four times, five times. But then eventually, once you break it, it will become tame. The same with the nafs. Once you start trying to apply what you've learned during Ramadan, try to control what you eat, try to control what you drink, try to control what you say, try to abstain from wrong things, the nafs is not going to allow you to do that easily. It's going to fight you, just like a horse. It's going to throw you off. You're going to fail once, you're going to fail twice, you're going to fail three times, but with persistence and with tawfiq from Allah, inshaAllah we can attain that. اللهم آتي نفوسها تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا واشرح به صدورنا ونور به قلوبنا وأطلق به ألسنتنا واجعلنا نتلوه كما تحب وترضى كما يرضيك عنا يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله